The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Yes, it is, and welcome back as we head into hour two of our daily three-hour tour. There are, some jobs in government and elected office that are not what I call real jobs. Like a U.S. senator isn't a real job. You speak, you can even bloviate, you get awards from the Kennedy Library. Being a sheriff of a county, especially in Arizona, that's a real job. You have a lot of responsibility if you take your job seriously. This is a man who does take it seriously. I have been an admirer from afar. We have friends in common. I don't think we've ever met, but it is all the more a delight to welcome to the show Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb. Sheriff Lamb, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for the intro. And I've often wondered, maybe I ran for the wrong office. I think some of these other elected officials, they don't have to do half the work.
I noticed that over time. Yeah, there are jobs and there are real jobs in life. A radio host, by the way, just so I can speak against it, this is not a real job. I don't have a real job. I'm in the category of senators, okay?
What you do is not easy, though.
Well, I don't know. I think it is. But, Mark, let me get to you. I hope this can be a down payment for many more returns. You're a first-time guest, and some of the audience here in Maricopa may not know a lot about you. Tell the audience, Jeb, before we get going, just a little bit about yourself, how you grew up, how you came to be doing what you're doing.
Oh, man, that's a lot. I grew up in Hawaii, actually, but my dad was from Chandler, and so I went to high school in Chandler. I actually write about a lot of that stuff in the book and American Sheriff, Traditional Values in a Modern World.
Great.
And I talk about a lot of the things that have made me an American, the person that I am, some of the values that I think we've lost touch with in this country. So, but what I am is I'm a God-fearing, family man, patriot. I love this country. I love freedom, the Constitution, and I love the rule of law. And I believe that encompasses me for the if you're asking for a quick answer.
I guess I didn't. I apologize ahead of time. This book just came out a couple months ago. I'm going to order it right now if it's the one I'm thinking of. This came out last November, right?
Yeah, it came out in November, and we've been doing a bunch of book signings and tours, but it just gives people a little bit more background into who I am.
Good. American Sheriff, Traditional Values in a Modern World. A great title. I'm ordering it right now. You will see one more sale on Amazon in probably about 5 to 10 minutes. Sheriff Lamb, you're in Pinal County. What are you, about 40, 50, 60 miles from the border? Tell me, the media has one narrative. The White House has a separate narrative. What's the real narrative? Mark, I think you may have hit mute by accident on your phone. Is that possible?
They have done a good job of trying to get the truth out there, and they're putting people on the show that actually are speaking truth and are talking from personal knowledge. And then you have the White House. The majority of the media and the White House are feeding the American people a bunch of lines of BS. That's the bottom line. It's just not the truth. And they're politicizing this crisis. It is exactly that. This is a border crisis. It is something that we're dealing with in our county, all the border counties are dealing with, and this is not going to stay in our county. This is going to flow into Phoenix, Maricopa County, but all throughout America. And you're seeing that already. I mean, they're just busing these people by the busloads into Phoenix, and then from there they're busing them all over the country. So this is a major problem, and the media and the politicians in Washington are trying to downplay it and have you believe that it's not, but it is.
There's a growing list of problems, aren't there, Sheriff Lamb? We're talking to Sheriff Mark Lamb. So one of is the obvious first problem, which half the country thinks is a problem and half the country doesn't, which is illegal immigration as its own thing, just as a problem in and of itself. But there are a whole host of problems we are getting that I used to think were 80 or 90% of the population cared about. Furtherance of criminal enterprise, criminality, crime, substance abuse, human trafficking, sex trafficking. Tell us about those problems and what we're going to see more of, what I presume we're going to see more of as a result of what we're seeing today.
Well, and I'll start off first off, there is no such thing. Immigration is not the issue anymore. And that's what I try to tell people. It shouldn't matter what your politics are. If you care about human beings in America and how people are treated, then you should absolutely care about border security, because the cartel is violating these people's rights on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. They rape the women. They use the children as pawns. They're extorting the men. They're making them traffic drugs into this country. All of those things don't have anything really to do with immigration. And now these policies and procedures that this new administration are putting in, it goes to the other point that you made. They are emboldening, they are enriching the cartels, and they're bringing more and more stuff in. And I always thought the same thing, that we as Americans would stand up for what it's right. But apparently you only stand up for what's right if it goes along in line with what you believe. And we have now people that believe in a certain level of politics as opposed to values. And if this suits their politics, then they're okay turning a blind eye to it. And that's why we're in this situation in this country, where what is right has become wrong and what is wrong has become right. And this is just another example. The immigration, the border issues, the human trafficking, the drug trafficking, another example where people are politicizing it and using it to their advantage instead of seeing it for what it is, which is a travesty and a danger to our country and our community.
Sheriff Lamb, well said and well spoken, and I thank you for that. That is kind of the opening to what I was going to ask you next, which is people tend to want to shut their eyes because they want it to be about immigration. And I love how you say it has nothing to do with that. We're talking sex trafficking. We're talking drug trafficking. We're talking cartel empowerment and monopolizing. It's a funny thing. Maybe it's uncomfortable. Maybe it comes from a good place in the heart of America. But it's a funny thing that we're talking about the humanitarian crisis of the children. And don't get me wrong, I spent all my life working for children's charities when I'm not in the radio show. But there is something to be said for protecting America from crime and prostitution and substance abuse. I mean, the country used to care about those things, it seemed like, up until about 2 years ago.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now they don't seem to care. I mean, we don't even have the resources to deal with the sex trafficking.
Okay.
Because we're so focused on the children, the crimes, the predators out there going after the children. And now a lot of people don't realize the cartel, when I say they're using the children as pawns, you know why there's 15,000 children that have come in here? Because the cartel knows that while we're tied up, Border Patrol and ICE agents are tied up dealing with these families and these children who are coming unaccompanied most of the time, or the cartel attaches the child to a family and says, here, go across, they won't turn you away. While we're dealing with that, they are leaving these other areas completely unchecked. And now the cartel, who they're charging those people, and now they're funneling their human trafficking and drugs into this country, which is why I say it's so important and every American should care about, because they know exactly what our policies and our politics are, and they're exploiting them. And we have an administration, and I say this whether it's willingly or unwillingly, complicitly or non-complicit, they are aiding and abetting the growth of the cartels and how much money they're making them more and more powerful. And I wish they would stop and ask some questions and find out how to fix it, because they're not on the right track.
And it's not hypothetical, right? You could do story after story. Tell the story of the one I think I read about the other day, where you had some of your deputies chase down a car. And turned out there were seven people in it. This was the one where you had to unleash a canine. Tell that story real quick.
Yeah, I'll give you two examples. Okay. We attempted a traffic stop. The vehicle ran from us. We pursued it because there were signs that this might be a load vehicle. We pursued that vehicle. DPS got involved, and we ended up having to use stop sticks. When the vehicle came to a stop, the driver was non-compliant. We had to release a canine on it. They ended up having seven illegals in that vehicle. Three of them were children. Mm-hmm. But I want to give you another example, one that just happened today. We just arrested a guy today, or we took his car because we pursued him, and he ran from us, and he tried to get his vehicle back. Well, when we dumped his phone, he had child pornography on there. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? a week and a half ago, that guy got sent back to Mexico by DPS. A week later, he's already back here running from us again, and this is obviously a sexual predator. And we just, luckily, we picked him up. But how many more of those guys are coming into this country that we're just that we don't have the resources to find? That's what every American, the media and the politicians want you to believe, that everybody's this poor little person who wants to come here to make a better life for themselves. I'm telling you, that's not what I see in my county. What I see are military-age men coming from other countries that we don't know their background. We don't know what kind of criminals they are. In this case, we had a child predator. Somebody had child porn on his computer, on his phone. That's what people need to realize is coming into this country. And I always say, look, there's good people that drink and drive. We still have to arrest them for DUI. There are good people that want to come into this country. But when you do it illegally, you need to be held accountable.
Sheriff Lamb, that's a great point. That's a really great point. I appreciate you telling it. And I guess the other thing I would say is, you know, you think of someone or someone who takes law enforcement seriously who is in it, we think of you guys as having a really hard job. It's hard enough to do your job once. You guys are being asked to do it again and again and again on the same perps because they're sent back and come back. Or they're not sent back and stay here, right?
You're right. And it is hard. And then you don't even get the support of your government.
No.
And then the media turns on you. And these poor men and women who go out and put the badge on do not deserve that.
Nope.
What we saw last year was we saw the actions of a few. We allowed the media and the government to impugn an entire profession.
Yeah.
That is not fair. It would be no different than if I were to impugn an entire race of people for the actions of one person of that race. It's just not fair. It's not logical. And we need to do a better job of standing up for these men and women who do put on the badge, because it is a hard job. And half the time we have to arrest these people over and over again to try to protect our communities. And they bear the scars of what we carry every day. We see things that no human should have to see, and oftentimes we see that every day.
Mark, next time you're in Maricopa, if you're coming up north or west, let me know. I'd love to have you in studio for an hour and do a lot more with you. I love the cut of your jib. I love what you're doing in Pinal County. And as I said, even between now and that next time you're up here, I hope this can be a down payment and we can visit again on air very shortly.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate your time, and I'll take you up on that offer. I'd love to come in the studio and spend a little more time. We got a lot to cover.
I will stand with you on standing with the men and women in uniform every single hour of every single day, sir. Thank you. Our guest has been Sheriff Mark Lamb, and he is the sheriff of Pinal County. And we will be in touch with him again as we go through and cover the border crisis. His book, just out, American Sheriff, Traditional Values in a Modern World. Mark Lamb, thank you. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. Something just very Americana about all that, isn't there? Star Spangled, rodeo. I love listening to Christy Noem talking about protecting the rodeo, you know? You don't think about it if you don't live in a rodeo state. Although we are a rodeo state, I guess you don't think about it as much as you should or would want to. Have you ever been to a rodeo, Bill? Well, we ought to do a rodeo thing. Huh? Yeah, some kind of show road trip up in Prescott. It's one of the big ones. You think we could get an audience to go with us? Do a barbecue and rodeo? I could do a talk on the history of the rodeo. I'd love to do this. Can you get with the powers that be and see if we can do a rodeo event with our listeners? Cowboy hats with 960 emblazoned on them? I can see it now. It'd be great. This day in history is a tough one. For many, you may recall this day in 1981 was the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan. And I remember exactly where I was. And I remember the most important news of that day was odd. It was just odd that the most important news of that day that came out of it after, obviously, the fact that we learned that Reagan was in fact struck and did survive, obviously, after all that. But through that, and through learning that, the biggest news of the day was Al Haig's statement at the White House that he was in control at the operations of the White House. And everyone made a big deal of it, that he didn't understand the presidential line of succession. George H.W. Bush, the vice president, was not there. And what Al Haig was saying was, here at the White House, I'm the one in the White House who's in charge. I'm not in charge of anything having to do with the levers of government outside of that. That's all he was saying. But they made a big deal of it because, obviously, the Secretary of State is not the third in line of succession. It's Speaker of the House, then President Pro Tem of the Senate. God save us all. Then Secretary of State. It was odd that that was a big story. We didn't know at the time how very, very, very close Ronald Reagan did come to death. It was I'm reading now from the book Rawhide Down, and it was really a miracle, that this 69, 70-year-old man survived a bullet to the chest. The bullet was 1 inch from his heart, and it was a slug that was known as a devastator round. Are you familiar with what a devastator round does? It's designed to explode on impact. It didn't. It didn't. Had it done so, there's probably little question Reagan would not have made it. The doctors were amazed at the strength of this man's chest when they cut him open. They said it looked like the chest of a 40-year-old athlete. Of course, he was so used to chopping wood that there probably are fewer exercises better than that. The thing he did that I'll never forget on that day was when he walked into the hospital room, the hospital ER entrance. His limo flies up to the hospital. This is a man who's now been aspirating blood. He's now been coughing up blood. He's a 70-year-old man. He's been shot in the chest, and his lung has collapsed. And he puts himself together to walk directly from the car into those sliding glass doors because he knew the world needed to see their president able to walk into a hospital on a day that they had learned he was shot. He had such a keen understanding of what the American people, and one would say the world, needed. And it was on display there, as in so many places. But how much more can you say it was on display there? You test someone. Someone is tested not in the easy times, right? Never mind when they're not shot, you know, in the healthy times. They're tested at their most vulnerable. And then, God bless him, he kept a pretty active diary. And he wrote in his diary the next day. He was able to write the next day in his diary. He wrote, "My day to address the Building and Construction Trades National Conference, AFL-CIO Conference, at the Hilton Ballroom. Well, I was all dressed up to go, and for some reason at the last minute took off my really good wristwatch and wore an older one. The speech was not riotously received. Still, it was successful." This is him writing a day after, okay? "Left the hotel at the usual side entrance and headed for the car. Suddenly, there was a burst of gunfire from the left. Secret Service agent pushed me under the floor of the car and jumped on top. I felt a blow in my upper back that was unbelievably painful. I was sure he'd broken my rib. The car took off. I sat upon the edge of the seat, almost paralyzed by pain. Then I began coughing up blood, which made both of us think, yes, I had broken a rib and it had punctured a lung. We switched orders from White House to George Washington University Hospital." This is Reagan in his own hand. When we come back, we'll finish it. Well, it started already, just to let you know. I'm now getting emails promoting the oldest rodeo in America, which takes place in Prescott. It's the Frontier Days Radio, world's oldest radio. And it is June 28th through July 4th. Already listeners are telling me it's not too late to buy tickets. It's probably too late to enter. And maybe next year we can figure out a 960 event around it. The Patriot and the Rodeo, it just kind of goes together. I was reading to you from Ronald Reagan's diary the day after he was shot. So this diary entry is March 31st, he being shot March 30th. He writes, "By the time we arrived, I was having great trouble getting enough air. We did not know that Tim McCarthy had been shot in the chest, Jim Brady in the head, and policeman Tom Delahanty in the neck." Boy, we all remember those names, don't we? Delahanty and McCarthy. We can see them, too, in slow motion, taking those bullets, can't we? "By the I walked into the emergency room and was hoisted onto a cart where I was stripped of my clothes. It was then we learned I'd been shot and had a bullet in my lung. Getting shot hurts. Still, my fear was growing because no matter how hard I tried to breathe, it seemed I was getting less and less air. I focused on that tiled ceiling and prayed. But I realized I couldn't ask for God's help while at the same time I felt hatred for the mixed-up young man who had shot me. Isn't that the meaning of the lost sheep? We are all God's children and therefore equally beloved by him. I began to pray for his soul and that he would find his way back to the fold." Heck of a Christian testimony, isn't it? "I opened my eyes once to find Nancy there. I pray I'll never face a day when she isn't. Of all the ways God has blessed me, giving her to me is the greatest and beyond anything I can ever hope to deserve." Wouldn't that be the best line you could ever write about your spouse or your significant other? Wouldn't it be nice to find that person if you haven't yet? "All the kids arrived, and the hours ran together in a blur during which I was operated on. I know it's going to be a long recovery, but there has been such an outpouring of love from all over. The days of therapy, transfusion, intravenous, etc. have gone by. I left the hospital, finally, and at the White House with Nancy and Patty again." This is a continuation. "The treatment, the warmth, the skill of those at GW has been magnificent, but it's great to be here at home." This last line was so important. "Whatever happens now, I owe my life to God and will try to serve him in every way I can." I did not know that he wrote that until I saw a documentary about his life when it was brought out by Edmund Morris in the documentary. I think it was a PBS documentary on Ronald Reagan. It's a pretty good one, actually. This was before Edmund Morris's book came out, which was a pretty bad one. If you want some good Reagan biographies, I can name them for you. I can give them to you. There's like four. Edmund Morris's is not one of them, unfortunately. But he was good in that documentary. And Edmund Morris, as other historians, took Reagan when he wrote that seriously. "Whatever happens now, I owe my life to God and will try to serve him in every way I can." And he envisioned his role as president through that lens through 1989. He still saw himself as the lifeguard on the Rock River, except the Rock River was now all of the world, not just the free world, not just this country. And there's been great writing on the team effort that was done behind the scenes between Margaret Thatcher, the Pope, and Ronald Reagan to indeed save the world. By the way, did you know this? The Soviet Union had planned to invade Poland the day Reagan was shot and called it off. I could see why. In any event, Poland and freedom and God, they were all weighing heavily on Ronald Reagan's mind for the rest of his presidency. Not just Poland, of course, not just all of Eastern Europe and all of the rest of the world, because he believed he owed his life to God and tried to serve him in every way he could. Those words, you believe that he meant them, because they just have the ring of sincerity, don't they? You couldn't believe someone who didn't mean something like that. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Rob is in surprise. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Seth. How are you doing?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
Good. I listened to your show yesterday, and I thought it was great, as usual.
Thanks.
I also, you know, listened to your monologues both yesterday and today, and I think they're both awesome. God, I don't even know where to begin. The new CDC
You sound like Chris Farley in that old SNL skit, you know.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Remember when you sang that song?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of songs, I was thinking, you know, as I was listening to this new CDC director, and I can't even remember her name because it doesn't matter, I was thinking of Meet the New Boss.
Oh, Rochelle Walensky. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And again, I mean, it sort of goes back even with Joe, and we talked with Joe. I guess he's president, or so they say, when he talked about masking up. And, you know, we're supposed to believe a guy or take him seriously, you know, who has signed all those EOs that resulted in open borders, illegal immigration being out of control, you know, no more energy independence, higher gas prices, rejoining the Paris Climate Accord and the WHO, easing up on Iran and China, and essentially basically screwing up everything he's touched. So we're supposed to listen to him and the CDC and take either of them seriously. I know I don't, and I don't think anybody else should either.
Well, when he told us this yesterday, Bill, it was the day before yesterday. Bill, do you have – listen to this, Rob. Hang on a second.
Precisely yes, what got us to this mess in the first place. I'm reiterating my call for every governor, mayor, and local leader to maintain and reinstate the mask mandate. Please, this is not politics. Reinstate the mandate if you let it down. And businesses require masks as well. The failure to take this virus seriously, precisely what got us in this mess in the first place, risk more cases, more deaths. Look, as I do my part to accelerate the vaccine distribution and vaccinations, I need the American people to do their part as well. Mask up. Mask up. It's a patriotic duty. It's the only way we ever get back to normal. To cheer together in stadiums full of fans. To gather together on holidays again safely. Go to graduations, weddings.
Graduations, weddings, to gather again. He's going to tell us. Now, what I didn't say, and I kept meaning to say, is if you watch the video of this, Rob, if you watch the video of him giving this talk from the White House, you will see he touches his nose and his face probably in that one segment, I don't know, at least 6 or 7 times.
Right.
And this is the man who has 2 vaccinations and 2 masks. And
exactly.
And I have to tell you, if there is one person who models how not to wear a mask, it's him. The way he waves it around, picks it up, puts it down, touches his face. And I suppose, too, whether it's him or Fauci, it's this thing Drew Holden wrote. You can only be wrong so many times before people stop believing you. Do you remember what he said about Texas Neanderthal thinking to end the mask mandate? Guess how long ago that was? That was 3 weeks ago. And guess what? Cases have been in steady decline.
Decline, exactly. I do have to make a plug, too, about those great comments from Ronald Reagan, especially the part about Nancy, because Nancy is my guiding light and the love of my life. And maybe it's the name, but I think, you know, Ronald had been married before to Jane Wyman, and I've been married before, but I guess we find our soulmates in various ways at different times when we least expect it. So had to make a plug up on that. Also,
I love what he said about her, and it dawns on me, you know, this is just such a beautiful note. One would wish every guy could say it to his best gal. He wrote, "I pray I'll never face a day when she isn't there. Of all the ways God has blessed me, giving her to me is the greatest and beyond anything I can ever hope to deserve." That's just so pure and beautiful, isn't it?
It's perfect.
Wouldn't you wish that on every couple you knew or every single person you knew who was looking to, you know, find someone?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's obviously very God-centered, and good for him. And again, I believe the same thing with my own Nancy. Unfortunately, today, when you brought up the Pinal County Sheriff, it reminded me that today was a day in 2007, a classmate of mine from the Naval Academy lost his 16-year-old daughter, beautiful girl named Tessa, to a drunk driving illegal in Virginia Beach.
Oh, no.
And people can't imagine, and people always talk about, you know, you never want to outlive your kids. But again, this just highlights, again, the big problem with not having a secure border, not having an administration that even wants to have a secure border, and uncontrolled, they disseminate them wherever somebody, and I don't even know who decides it, wants to put them. You know, I heard about Gila Bend, and I know there's probably plenty in Phoenix, Pinal County, obviously, and Ajo, where I'm in the process of selling a house, which brought me into yesterday when we were talking about the relief for tenants.
Oh, yeah.
I worried about, you know, they talk a lot about, you know, tenant relief and not having to pay, but then they never talk about, what about the landlords?
Yeah,
what about homeowners?
I know.
You know, what about those who are owning their home who still have a mortgage?
Yeah, that's right.
And also,
that's right.
You know, what about commercial real estate owners who, you know, had all those businesses that either failed or everybody's working from home now? They all have to not only pay a mortgage, but they also have to pay the utility.
That's right.
And the taxes.
That's right.
And I don't see any relief for the rest of them.
And rising prices for everything else, like gasoline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. And so I just find that very sad that they only talk about tenants like everybody in America lives in an apartment.
I know.
You know,
it is a weird thing that we only focus on. That's exactly right. And by the way, a lot of people who live in apartments. There are some nice apartments. There are some.
Oh yeah, there are.
Yeah, there are some
nice
renters.
Some are even rent controlled, Seth.
Yeah, I remember doing a fundraiser in New York. I was kind of blown away. I was a young kid, and I tagged along with important people to this apartment in New York, and it was an apartment. And I remember having dinner with the important people I was with right afterwards. And I said, "My gosh, what do you think that goes for a month? Like $100,000 a month?" They both laughed.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah. They laughed. No. Add another zero, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's a totally different reality.
It is.
My final thing was I just saw a Kamala Harris TV commercial on, I don't remember what channel, WE TV, which is, I think, Women's Entertainment Television.
Oh, hold the thought. Hold the thought. This sounds good. Okay. Where is Kamala Harris? Wasn't she put in charge of coordinating the response to the border? Has anyone seen her since she was put in charge? What was that, 5 days ago? Be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Boy, I saw a commercial the other day with Sarah Evans promoting something. I don't remember what it was. She looks a lot different. I haven't seen her in a while, but boy, she had a voice. Rob, thanks for your patience, sir.
Well, thank you. And I, on the other hand, do not have a voice, so I'm not going to sing anything for you.
Okay,
anyway, I mentioned before the break, I saw a Kamala Harris TV commercial yesterday, and she was talking about, and I guess it was directed at young women, young girls, where, you know, you have to dream big, you have to lead with conviction,
right.
You've got to be empowered, you can do anything. It's like the old Army, be all you can be commercial.
Right.
Don't let anything or anyone stop you. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a media that is actually encouraging someone who didn't do any of the right things to get to the position she's in, and yet she's a role model, and nobody is calling her bluff.
Yeah, we're gonna have to fix those ads for her. You can be empowered to do anything you want to do, be anything you want to be, and unless it's about illegal immigration or sexual assault, you can even talk about it.
That's right.
Because those are the two things that she has been muzzled on, which are the two most important things people want to hear from her on, sexual assault in relationship to Andrew Cuomo and the border, which she has been put in charge of, and we have heard nothing from since.
Yeah, and nor does she have any plans to go to the border.
Right.
Which is equally interesting. Right. And then, of course, she's invited by Bill Clinton to be part of a panel on
how COVID has affected women. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Which again, I don't understand why more people aren't just calling it out. It's an oxymoron.
Right. Yeah. Brett Kavanaugh, she will go after.
Right.
Tong and hammer.
Yeah.
Hammer and tong.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrew Cuomo, she will say not a peep about.
Or Bill Clinton.
One happened last year. Or Bill Clinton. One happened last year. One has no evidence of ever happening when we were 16 years old.
Oh, exactly, Seth. Anyway, keep up the great work. Love your show. You know that. I'm done.
Thank you, sir. You were the inspiration for us talking about what liberalism means, Rob, and that's why I am going to have Professor Mark Bauerlein on at the top of the next hour. He is the author of the column I quoted from so generously in my monologue. Mark Bauerlein, professor at Emory and editor at First Things. We need a muscular liberalism. What is meant by that? Do we, by the way? Do we? I'm going to push him a little bit. It'll be fun. He's always smart. We'll be right back.